Hello and welcome to LAN Party, the 1UP Network.
Whoa!
Whoa, LAN Party. Oh my god,
it's such a surprise!
I was pretty sure it was X17, but I guess I was wrong.
No, it's LAN Party now.
Yeah, this is the LAN Party.
Okay.
The lame party. No.
forgot to apologize.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I forgot to say. This is Ryan Scott, your host, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry for everything that you're about to hear.
Yes. Awesome.
Oh, and this is, this is for November 6th. I guess you'll be listening to this. So Hello and welcome.
Hello.
When I think of LAN Party, it makes me think of,
is it throwback moments, like in high school?
Yeah, and it makes me think of like the times when everyone's eating like nasty food and drinking way too much soda, and someone's mom's in there.
Like right now,
but I'm just saying, and someone's mom comes in and they're like semi ashamed of their son and all their friends, but at the same time, they're also happy that they're not out doing drugs or something. Like, at least I know he's not doing drugs.
See, It was like that for me in high school too, when we would play StarCraft and stuff. Except like when the mom would walk out, she'd be like, "There's a girl here," and then she'd smile.
I just remember, you know, having a bunch of friends over for my 13th birthday, and my mom ordering a bunch of pizza, and we were staying up all night in my room watching movies, and ripping god awful farts.
Oh, that's
all right. I remember my mom walking in the door and going, "Oh my god, what in the hell is going on in here?"
Oh my god.
Because we were down on the floor, you know, we weren't even up in that cloud. we had no idea.
Robert.
Yeah, LAN Party.
Bobby.
LAN Party.
Yeah, that's her name.
And I think that in that god awful thread that we started, that contest for people to select a name, somebody did come up with it. And whoever you are, I'd like to tell you that I came up with it first. But we did promise a Warhammer Collector's Edition to the winner, so I'm going to have to go through the thread and see who said that first. You know.
Don't edit your posts, because if we see posts edited like today,
Tina will lock that thread.
Yeah.
Everyone's locking it doesn't matter, because they can just edit it. Yeah. Well, Anthony, why did you have to give them that idea?
Well, we can go through it before this podcast is ever posted.
It says when they did their last edit. That's all. True, so we just got to look at the date.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's just keep it.
I think you should just give that Warhammer shit to the first person who asks you for change on the way to the BART.
How do you know I didn't get it from him?
I don't know.
Oh, God. Oh, about our listeners, we got a very nice package this week from Daniel Montgomery, so I want to thank him. He also wrote me a letter. It's in Korean. I don't know what it says.
I don't know, but it's sort
it probably of probably says signed, something about StarCraft.
It's signed with a panda bear
and a
standing next
face.
To
what
a,
if it was like
a guy in a park?
I don't know. What to
what
make
if it's
of
like
this.
A hardcore love letter, and he's just like,
but it says Tina said and
what,
friends.
I'll have said what I needed to say to Tina.
Let's see this,
but she'll never know. And maybe. He's like, but at least I said it. So
let's take a screenshot. A screenshot. Jesus Christ. Let's take a picture,
a photograph,
and post it.
Everything to me is a screenshot now. Yeah, and then see if somebody. Translate
yeah,
it.
But he sent us a big box of Cheetos, and I didn't even get a chance to eat any because all the coworkers like tore that shit up.
What I want to know is why.
I'm sure that the letter is probably like Tina and friends. All this stuff is poisoned. I sure hope you guys can read this before you eat it.
See, I think I'm more optimistic than you.
I want to know why his name is Daniel Montgomery and it's all written in Korean.
He sent us gold doubloons, which is awesome. Like. You hear that shit.
We did mention them on a previous show.
I was going to say, is he the one that PM'd you and was like, how can I send money your way? And we were like, no, don't send money. Send
gold coins.
And actually, it turns out these gold coins are fucking terrible.
Why?
I mean,
they're
like,
good.
I appreciate the gift, but oh my God, they're awful.
Why?
Dude, before the podcast
right
started, you were the one that was like, what is that ass smell? And so Robert, like, gives you some of the tinfoil from these gold coins, and you're like, oh, it's that.
It's okay. The guy likes the show a lot. He just wanted to form his feces into coins. I'll eat another one. I mean, I've eaten worse things on this show.
Our country's in a recession, you know. Foil. That's my excuse for everything now.
Country's in a recession.
You expect 100% chocolate in times like this?
I know.
You're right. I'm an elitist bastard.
Yeah.
But he also sent Robert a letter.
Open up your letter he sent you.
I got a letter. It says Robert Ashley.
Wait, but... What is that? Explain what that is.
Apparently, it looks like lipstick, but on the envelope, and it is envelope, not envelope for any of you at home. there's this big red stain, which is apparently Cheeto dust from Anthony. And he gave it to me. And I tried to lick it and see if I could taste the flavor, because I was like, what kind of Cheeto dust is red?
Dude,
but
so
it didn't have any particular flavor.
Were you able to taste everywhere that envelope has been?
No. It just tastes like trees.
Able to discern from genetic traces exactly where in the mail system it resided.
No. Just tastes like the woods. All right, I'm opening this.
So I still feel like... Go ahead. I'm
open it.
Yeah, keep going.
Hold on. Egypt's chocolate coin.
What all's in there?
It takes a while to open it.
Wow.
Whoa.
Oh.
Oh, holy shit. So somebody sent me money, and I just want to say, this guy sent me money. Please don't actually send money. It's a very bad idea, although I really appreciate it. It's a Thomas Jefferson, and it's one of those new ones. It looks fancy, as if to trick you into thinking that dollars are worth a lot still. But it's a very crisp $20 bill. Thank you very much. Please do not send any more money.
This is just proof that we need to start like our own private GFW / land party store and have it
and solicit donations.
We'll have items on there like that are, you know, the land party reserve. You know, and it'll just be items that they're only 10 or 15 of. You know, that you can really show how much of a nerd you are. And right now I'm taking my wallet out just in front of everyone. And I'm putting this $20 bill in my wallet, which if you look at my wallet, there was only a 5 in there before. I'm now, I don't know, 4 times richer.
You have to thank Daniel, but tell him not to do that again.
Thanks, Daniel. Please don't send any more money unless you do it in such a way.
It has
to be untraceable.
My house address in Berkeley is...
Have you guys ever seen this wallet?
No.
I've had this since I was about
Mario.
12 years old.
That is crazy.
My mom used to sell Avon products. I don't know if any of you boys are aware of Avon.
I am. My mom sold them for a while.
How do you guys know what that is, but I don't?
Because everybody has a mom,
really?
except for you.
I had mom's friends that would come and be like, does your mom wear makeup?
It's super suburban. Maybe
your
mom's
not suburban.
Have
you ever seen Edward Scissorhands?
Yeah.
Avon lady.
Yeah, that's what the mom and the family did.
You could buy those scissor hands from Avon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's where they came up. They were,
that makes sense. And I know you're lying to me,
bullshit.
So...
no, I mean, you know, they sold, like, I don't know, makeup products and stuff, but they always had this page of stuff for kids to try to trick people into buying things for the kids, and one of those things was this Super Mario Brothers 2 wallet that features a, I don't know what you call that, it's not a hologram, it's one of those things where when you move it the picture
features. Isn't that a hologram?
I don't know. But it's Mario picking up a mushroom. And this wallet is completely destroyed.
See, I don't remember Avon like gatherings, but I do remember Tupperware parties. I remember families having Tupperware
My mom had
parties
those too.
Growing up.
Well, I don't want to talk about Tupperware
it's
parties.
It's one of those ways that you know, people
used to meet each
working,
other.
Working moms used to make some money that way.
Yeah. You know what we should talk about? What did you guys watch last night on TV? I mean, it won't be last night anymore when they listen to this, but
yeah, I mean, I was watching Welcome Back, Cotter. I was watching.
I didn't watch anything. I
really?
Just watched out my window with a gun because I live in Oakland, and it was like, Barack Obama wins, riot. Barack Obama loses, riot. So it was like,
no, actually, we had a party.
Wasn't there fireworks?
There was a lot of things.
I don't think it was.
I just heard people screaming Obama.
There was definitely gunpowder involved, but
yes.
I don't think that it was. I don't think that it was for fun. Well, I mean, it was for fun, obviously, but I don't know. We had an election party, and I live in Berkeley, and I've never seen Berkeley like this in my entire life. At 3 in the morning, I still was hearing people driving outside my window with their horn just down completely. Just
see, I'm wondering, like, and I had people just like with their lights cycling between flashing their brights and not. And yeah. I was like, how does like making memes get into a car accident right now? Like, how is that like
celebrating?
Dude, Barack Obama's president. All the rules have changed.
Yeah. Well, we went downstairs.
Everything's legal.
We went downstairs, myself and several of the people from the party, to see what the fuck was going on. And as soon as I walked out my front gate, there was a guy walking right up to my gate, and he raised his hand like this, and we high-fived. Like a complete stranger, I high-fived in the street.
See, so. I was talking to someone online, and they were like, people are going crazy in the streets right now. And then they told me, I want to go out there and be a part of it. And I was like, that is exactly how riots get started. Like, before you know it, I want to go out there and be a part of it. And they're like, we should flip this fucking car. And you're like, we should flip this fucking car.
Anthony, it was a riot of hope.
it went totally fucking crazy in my neighborhood. Like right after, like my roommates and I went out on our balcony, and everybody was cheering their heads off, like out on their balconies. And we waited until the speeches, and they were like, we had way too much energy, so we're like, fuck it, we're just gonna go out and walk. We thought, I live in the Mission, so we thought, maybe we'll just walk to Dolores Park or whatever, because I'm sure there's a bunch of people out there. And so as we were on our way, like we ended up just passing a bunch of other people, and we ended up on the corner of 19th and Valencia, which is a totally random fucking street corner. There's nothing there. And, like, there were people on all four corners, and I think it just was this confluence of people that just wanted to be outside but had nowhere to go, mm-hmm. and kind of all people in this area just ended up in the same spot. So the corners were all, like, filled with people, and they were still letting traffic go by. And then the lights changed green, and people started, like, walking across to high-five each other. And then, like, I don't know what happened, but it was, like, this like, flock mentality where everybody jumped into the middle of the intersection and started jumping up and down and like around in circles and cheering like crazy and took over the whole intersection, and the party got bigger and bigger and bigger. People showed up, bands showed up, the cops show up. They didn't do anything but kind of stand to the side of it, and they just like kind of formed a perimeter, and we're just watching. People were walking up to the cops and shaking their hands and like talking to them.
Dude,
and, like,
when you were describing like everyone standing at the corner, like everyone converging on the spot, I just pictured people pulling out like bike chains from their back pocket.
Snapping their fingers.
Being like, we're doing
Barack
this.
Obama's constituency is just all flash mob people. They just automatically go into that sort of display.
I did hear some stupid statistic that was like 75%, or if you only have a cell phone, you don't have a landline, you were like 75% more likely to vote for Obama. Like, what?
Wow.
What? That's like such a weird statistic.
Weird.
It was like,
that's just a youth thing. Did you guys see the video of the mob of people that flooded Pennsylvania Avenue? Well, it wasn't Pennsylvania. It was the street behind the White House.
Yeah.
In the morning last night.
Yep.
Apparently, just people started randomly pouring out of the bars and took over the entire street and were loud and yelling. And the gates to the White House are pretty close to the White House. And
yeah.
You know, 10,000 people on the street there, mm-hmm. everyone inside that White House would be hearing the mob screaming, Obama, Obama. Dude, that's got to feel kind of weird.
That's why they have snipers on that thing all day.
Yeah, yeah. I used to live in D.C., and it used to freak me out to walk by the...
And you would see them?
Well, because everyone wears really dark clothes, and you would be... I remember walking with my mother, showing her how there are trees in the front garden of the White House from each state, you know, one from each state. And we're going around, my mom, like, plants.
I don't know.
Mom's like plants, and I was showing her the different trees, and we're like, what's that one? We're looking, and then suddenly we realize we're within about 3 feet of a very large, very beefy man with an AK-47. Oh, okay, we'll be moving along.
Yeah, I remember when me and my friend were taking pictures, we were like, oh.
He had an AK-47?
Yeah, well, okay, maybe
some assault rifle.
I'm not a gun expert,
but
everything that I know about guns comes from video games.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
AK-47s are for communists.
Okay. Yeah, wrong team.
Whoa.
Now that Obama's won, though, we're all going communists. So.
Yeah, they're going to switch up all the weaponry.
Yep.
We're going to start...
The funniest thing I saw last night was Oprah. I've never seen her show, right? And there were interviews.
You've never seen Oprah
once, ever, in your
entire life.
No.
I do not believe you.
I think everyone here besides you has seen Oprah at some point.
No, I haven't ever seen Oprah.
How could
my mom used to watch Oprah religiously.
I've never seen a full
Oprah's
episode.
Oprah's on.
You're all dancing. No, I don't know. Maybe my mom's awesome. That's why. Never seen it. Anyways.
Your mom isn't.
You guys must watch a lot of football at your house.
Me? No. Football. But so last night they're interviewing
her. Think of
her.
Football as being the opposite of Oprah.
Wow. They're interviewing her, and she totally looked faded. She was like out of it.
Yeah.
And then one reporter asked her.
Are you high?
If she voted today, she's like, I did that last week.
Oprah had been snorting coke off of Stedman's ass for about 2 hours.
But if she's really like that during the show, I would definitely tune in now.
Oprah gets pretty crazy.
Yeah?
The craziest Oprah episodes too are always like the season opener or whatever. You know, like every
where
year
they give away
every
stuff.
Year she gives away something. Like last year it was like she gave everyone a minivan, like everyone that came to the studio.
And then she got sued.
For what?
Because a lot of people couldn't afford the taxes, and so they sued her, said that she had to pay the taxes.
Wow.
Because you have
the
to pay
taxes. Spirit of giving.
Exactly. Because you have to pay taxes on any prizes. So instead of people saying, maybe I should sell the minivan and take an outrageous profit.
Yeah, well, it's not like she bought the minivans. I mean, all that stuff is commercial promotion. They make a deal with
some of it, but
no. I guarantee you, all those daytime things where they give away, like Ellen gave away a bunch of Wii's. Yeah, I'm sure they went out and bought a bunch of Wii's. No, Nintendo gave them Wii's as a commercial promotion.
Speaking of a commercial promotion. Jeff and I went to the Dolby event like way back when he was still
Thomas
here.
Dolby?
No, Dolby. What? Dolby Laboratories?
You know, Thomas Dolby. The talk about pop music. Talk about, you know, like, anyway, sorry.
Dolby. Wow, I have no
Is that
idea.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that right? Thomas Dolby. Everyone at home, look it up for me. Allmusic.com.
I have no idea, but that's like the most awesome reference ever.
So, right. Speaking of commercial promotions.
Yes. Last podcast, we were talking about headsets and stuff, and people PM'd me about it. The headsets that Jeff and I got were called GameCom 777, and they're 5.1 surround sound, and they're really sweet. So, just wanted
also,
to
I know
there.
That Ryan really likes his Pioneer 5.1s.
No, I really hate it.
You really hate the Pioneer?
Ryan O'Donnell.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Ryan's, the other Ryan.
Ryan O'Donnell. Scott, on the other hand, is like...
Ryan Scott.
This is awkward.
Ryan Scott is the type of guy that like
totally awkward.
Doesn't have surround sound. It probably has like... A 15-inch CRT TV.
I know he's got a 15-inch something else, too.
Oh, my God.
A USB cable.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Like
Tiny Titans.
Like Ryan's like the guy. Like Ryan's like the only one of us that's like never made like the leap into
yeah.
the into
I don't have
presence.
Surround sound, and I don't have, you know, my
But
favorite.
You have a nice-ass TV.
Yeah, okay. That's good.
But I'm saying Ryan plays like on what, like the same Sanyo TV he's had like since he was like 15.
Aww.
He doesn't even have like a like all it has is like the one in that so you always have to buy the adapter because you can't even do the audio video split.
You're like, does the PS3 come with a coaxial cable?
my TV's not quite that bad.
It can't be as bad as Sean Elliott's TV was. That dude had Sean,
really?
He always wanted to, like, if he wanted to hang out and play games, it was always like, let's play at my house. And you come over there and you couldn't even fucking read the stuff. Like, we'd be wanting to play a trivia game, and he had this really bunk ass old CRT that was really fading out.
Yeah.
And you would be straining to read the questions. We'd try to play, I don't know, whatever that movie game is, Seen It,
yeah.
On Xbox. Yeah. That dude. I wonder if he bought a decent TV now. Let's
no, he
you.
Just uses his computer monitor for his 360 playing and stuff like that.
Pathetic.
Yeah.
Pathetic.
I'm just saying, Ryan makes tons of money. He has an executive title.
Yeah.
It's true, you are an executive.
Papa
Kids
Smurf.
At those, home, those, if you ever want to make $1 million
do
bucks,
not correlate.
You just should, you know, become the reviews editor for a video games website. It's the quickest way to riches.
And power.
And power.
Robert Ashley is leading you down the wrong
line. I just don't want him to discover, like, how lucrative it is to be a freelancer. So, yeah. All right, well.
You
video
were playing
games.
Fallout
3.
Yeah,
I've been, for the first time in a couple of months now, I finally have focused in on a game, and I've put in about 20 hours into Fallout in the past week.
Wow, nice.
Damn.
And it's like Oblivion, right? Like... in the sense that, like, have you? How far have you done in the main quest? Do you think? Like,
well, from what I was, from what I gathered from talking to Scooter, it sounds like I'm pretty close to the end, which I kind of regret. I want to kind of stop it and do some more of the side quests. I guess I've been kind of hurtling down the main path. Although I feel like the game in general sort of funnels you through the story quickly. It doesn't really give you many. Moments of you got to go out of your way to start picking up some of the other quests and stuff. Although some of my favorite things that I've run into have been non-story quests, but yeah, you know, it's weird. This will be the first. I mean, if you consider Fallout 3 an RPG, feels like one to me. This will be the first RPG that I have beaten since I was, you know, 15 or 16 and played Final Fantasy VII.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not an RPG guy. I actually really despise Oblivion.
Oh man.
I've mentioned that on the show before, but
yeah, I know. Every time I hear it.
Yeah, I just I played 15 hours of Oblivion. I really tried to get it. And what's funny is a lot of what I felt like destroyed Oblivion for me is still present in Fallout. That sort of awkward relationship with the environment that your character has, the really piss poor character animations that pull you out of the world. But they've gone such a further step in creating an interesting environment to be in for me, since I'm really not I'm not into Dungeons and Dragons and medieval times. All that silly bullshit.
One
of the ways I think that they did that, especially, is with the radio that you have all the time.
Yeah,
like, that shit blows me away. Like, because I'm like, you know, in Oblivion, it made sense to have like weird trumpets and wind instruments like playing occasionally in the background, but like in this, it's always just like this weird radio station that like kind of like keeps you updated on the current events in the world, and it handles the music well. By giving you that old-timey music, which is, like, totally rad, but at the same time, like, totally lends itself to making you feel like you're part of the world without just playing, like, music for no reason.
And they got
some
really awesome licensed tracks. I mean, I haven't played the game yet, but I've heard some of the music while other people have been playing. I'm like, dude, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's fun when you run into civilization and people have got the radio on and you hear that stuff.
Nice.
Did you kill any dogs in the game?
I'm playing very, very...
Why are you laughing?
Because you asked that question looking at him with, like, big puppy dog eyes.
You're like, have you killed one of my brethren, the puppy? I've not killed any. I've only killed, like, mutant puppies. I've been playing as a super good guy for the most part. I'd kind of like to go back and play as an asshole because I was just talking to Scooter about... Scooter's apparently playing as Hitler.
So I don't want to.
He seems to be making the worst possible choices ever.
For everything.
What I think so cool about it is like just how well they've, because you know, like, I've played only a little bit of it, but just like how much they've done with the world to make it feel so perfect. Like, even that part, there's parts where like you end up like on an aircraft carrier and stuff like that, and just seeing like the type of planes they have on the deck and everything like makes me nerd out a little bit. Like, they totally got the exact type of jet right for like the field that they were going for and stuff.
Yeah,
for the time frame.
It's interesting how they try to create this world that existed in the, I don't know, 2070s,
but it was still like
something.
the 50s.
Yeah, it sort of had gone retro, like the old cars that look like, you know, old Chevys and Chryslers, except they seem to have, you know, jet engines on the back of them or something.
Right.
It's great. And that's part of what really grabbed me about this game, I think, besides the fact that, you know, just the content is something I can relate to more, and just the whole post-apocalyptic America, I can relate to.
So let me ask you, like, because the style of it is something that they inherited, you know?
Yeah, sure.
But the combat is, you know, completely them. I mean, like, of course there's, you know, like, kind of the VAT system in Fallout 1 and 2, but it's not nearly the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, the biggest complaint that I've heard about it is that the combat is terrible and the VAT system isn't fun, which makes everything terrible altogether.
I think that it's probably something that people divide up on a lot. Mm-hmm. I do feel like it's not the deepest thing in the world. You have this option. If you haven't played this game, the VAT system is this thing that pauses the action. You're playing it like a first-person shooter.
Slows it down, right?
Yeah, well, it stops it entirely. Turns it into this sort of semi-turn-based
dice rolling thing.
Yeah, and you get to direct your shots at specific limbs. The thing is, though, there really isn't a lot of strategy for when you want to shoot someone not in the head.
Mm. Yeah,
you pretty much want to always shoot someone in the head unless you're just playing with them. You know,
unless you want to get them to drop their gun or something.
Or you want to shoot off a leg just to be a jerk.
Yeah. Yeah, well, then it stops them from running away. I mean, you can kind of be, if you're into, I mean, because the violence is so over the top. And I think that is kind of the key. Oh, yeah.
I approve?
You would approve.
All right.
I know how bloodthirsty you are. but I think they had to do that in order to make it feel like
impactful,
you were doing
maybe.
Something.
Like grittier or something?
Not just grittier, but if you're going to stop a first-person shooter and then like have menus instead of actual gunplay, I think you have to crank up that sensory feedback to make people feel like they're really doing something big.
Right.
And they slow down the sounds to where everything becomes really bassy, and you shoot somebody and it's like, boom, and the guy's head goes flying off, you know, 20 feet into the background.
But then there's like that video of that guy who goes up against somebody who's like, you know, not waiting for him to attack him. He holds his gun right in front of his face and basically hits him in the head 32 times before he dies. And so it's like that kind of stuff. Like if you're running around in a first person shooter and your aim doesn't mean anything, you know, it's like it doesn't matter if I'm shooting, I have the skill to shoot at this guy in the head while he's moving using my mouse and keyboard or using both thumbsticks or whatever. The dice rolls are still there, and it can make me miss even though I'm aiming right at the guy. But VATS, VATS is so much better than normal aiming.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see, like, if you're trying to play this like a first-person shooter, that sounds like it would be frustrating.
Although, as your character gets better and you get more skills in the guns that you're using, you do get to be a better shot. At this point, my character's pretty high level, and I will often actually not use VATS unless I'm trying to be strategic, especially if I've nailed a couple of bullets into somebody and I don't have any points left, then I'll just finish them off in real time.
Gotcha.
And that sort of thing. It works like that. You know, it's not the most elegant thing ever, but there's something really compelling about it, especially with the... Tina is raising her hand. I will decline her at the moment.
Oh. No. That sucks.
No, okay. I already lost my train of thought. What?
Sorry. I just want to know if there's any incentive to use the VAT system or if I can just play this game like a shooter and just... You know, go around like.
Well, I think that's kind of what I was
go
saying.
Killing
is that, like,
dogs.
You can't play it like a shooter. No,
because I think like, early on you can't.
Yeah, because like it takes too much to kill things. Because your dice rolls. You know, like if you're playing D&D and you're rolling dice whether to hit somebody.
Yeah.
If you're not using the VAT system, it really penalizes you for hit and damage, and you're gonna run out of ammo before you can kill people. So if you're using the VAT system all the time, then you're a lot more likely to kill them with fewer shots.
But I think it would be kind of boring to play the game as a first-person shooter, honestly, because the enemy behaviors are pretty primitive.
Yeah.
I mean, you run into combat situations where if you were playing them in real time, it would play like a first-person shooter from
that
the
was
90s
like really
or something.
Bad. Really?
Yeah, I mean, they don't really have any kind of realistic behavior going on, especially when you're out in the open. That's the funny thing in the game. You have all these moments where you're out in the middle of the wastelands and you have no cover, and you'll run into these people out or like the worst thing, you run into robots with long distance like sniper rifles or something. You're just getting popped as you're walking towards running towards them or whatever.
Right.
It would just be the dumbest shootout if you didn't have that scene.
I don't know, in the Firstborn he took out a sniper with a shotgun. You remember that?
No.
Oh, never mind. Off topic.
What is Firstborn?
I don't know.
The Firstborn Identity.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh.
Sorry.
And like, the sniper.
In the Firstborn.
I thought we were talking about some obscure religion or something.
No, and the sniper was a then non-famous... forget what that guy's name is.
I know who you're talking about, though.
That
I
was like one of
either.
The best scenes ever in Carl Urban. Trilogy.
Huh?
Carl Urban?
No, it was the guy that played the lead in...
Children of Men.
Children of Men, yeah.
All those movies bleed into one for me.
That's
understandable.
Well, it's
I've only seen
one big story.
It's one long series of Matt Damon getting cripplingly hurt by things and, you know, shooting people.
I didn't want to see the second one because, like, I heard that his girlfriend from the first one is killed off in, like, the first 2 minutes. And yeah. I'm like,
spoiler.
Fuck it.
Spoiler. Oh,
what, you were just really into...
Because I always feel that that's, like, the cheapest tactic that a writer can resort to when they need to go to a sequel is to kill off a previous character so their star can be unfettered.
But, you know, this is a movie that's about creating, like, car chases, right?
Yeah, I do.
But yeah.
I still demand story.
I mean, story is fine and good, but I don't think.
Back to what you're saying about the vats thing. Like, I do think the vats thing works really well because the enemies have so much health in a way too. Like, if you didn't have the vat system, like shooting someone in the head over and over again would just seem so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like when you do the turn based action, I don't know, for some reason the vats thing kind of makes it like feel okay that it's like.
I think it also gives you a moment to strategize. If not, you know. Where to shoot somebody, then what to shoot somebody with. You can later on when you have sort of the big guns and mines and frag grenades and stuff, you can have some fun with it that way. Like I loved about at the midpoint in the game, I started running into a lot of super mutants, and they were really hard. They're these big, super armored green guys that sort of yell nonsense at you. They're like, and I started running into a lot of them, and they're really hard to kill. And I had a bunch of frag mines, and I would just lure them over my mines, and it was so much fun. You know, they'd see you, and they just start storming because they're like, "Oh, I'll kill you!" And every time they'd run over your mine.
I think it's too bad that you never got into Oblivion, because just like Oblivion, Fallout has like so many of those cool like quests that come out of nowhere, like that.
I had one moment in Oblivion that I really loved, and it was that I found a ship at harbor in the main city that I went into, and the ship undocked and went out to sea while I was on it and had been hijacked by pirates, and I was like, what the hell?
Holy
and,
shit. Yeah, and I was happen. Stuck I didn't on do this that boat. One. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really, I mean, that stuff like that is cool.
I'm just saying, or like in Fallout, like there's like a quest where you end up in a simulator. I don't want to say much more than that, but have you done that? Where you?
Oh yeah, that was like, the moment at which the game. I mean, I don't know how spoilery we want to get. There are so many people listening right now. They're like, no, don't do it. So maybe let's save the spoilery talk for later. Maybe.
And I haven't played it either because I'm waiting to play it on the new PC.
Yeah, well, let's maybe we can do a spoiler talk later when enough people have had a chance.
I'm just
to
saying,
play
there's
it.
All these cool quests that come out, and they're totally different from what you've been.
Yeah,
doing,
and
you're like, fuck, that was awesome.
And they've gone to a lot of trouble, I think, that maybe that wasn't as much in Oblivion from the things that I played, to create sort of individual story sections that had their own art. It wasn't a bunch of stock assets that they'd used throughout the game.
Right, over and over again.
That is what Oblivion was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of that in Fallout, but you can tell. I mean, you'll find moments in the game where they've gone to a lot of trouble to sort of do some environmental storytelling. I remember when I ran into this house in D.C., just checking it out, just this weird old house, and inside there was this guy who had, you know, three women there, and he was basically their protector in exchange for sex. and you couldn't really get much out of him story-wise, but you could just tell from the surroundings what was going on there.
Right.
He had this big sculpture as a chandelier in his mansion that was, you know, two people copulating. And there were whiskey bottles strewn all over the house.
Why are you smiling, Pubs?
Because that's what it's like at Ryan's house every night. Yeah. That's what it's like at Ryan's house every night.
Ryan likes copulating. you enjoy a good copulation?
Yeah. Perhaps.
Who doesn't, sir? Who doesn't? I also think it's funny in Fallout, seeing some of the things that do feel like Oblivion to me, like when you get into the Brotherhood of Steel. This isn't a spoiler or anything. It's just another sort of faction within the world, and they have this sort of Knights of the Round Table thing, and their language and their manner of speech is very much like that. And so early on, one of the first followers, which is, you know, sort of secondary NPCs that you can get to come along with you and fight, one of the first one that I got was this woman named Star Paladin Cross. And I loved that character because, first of all, it's awesome fighting with somebody. You feel like a badass because you're way tougher and you can load them up with all your awesome loot. But every time I'd pause, every time I'd go to talk to her so that I could hand some stuff over or change tactics or whatever, she would say something like, "A foul wind blows. That is not Terry." And I'm like, "What? The fuck are you talking about?" And look, I just opened this coin.
Oh,
it's a little melty.
Oh, that's quite disgusting.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm still going to eat it.
Chocolate coin.
But yeah, the other thing.
Did you read any of the back fiction on the Brotherhood of Steel faction that's in DC, because they're like different than the Brotherhood of Steel that was in the other games. I thought it was really
cool. they make that part. I don't know if
they put that into the story
for people, but yeah, they do explain how they came from the West Coast to DC and everything.
I don't think it's that spoiler because it was like on their website before the game.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, they sort of explain that they sent a new section of the Brotherhood of Steel out to DC, and that the guy who runs it has basically gone rogue because he's into the local people.
Yeah, he believes being a protector and not just searching for technology and that kind of stuff. Yeah,
yeah.
That stuff's really cool. It's like, it's a way to wrap in some of people's favorite things about the last two games, which were the Brotherhood of Steel and the Brotherhood of Steel quests and the power armor, and pull it into, you know, the East Coast and like how they got over there, and like still twist it up a little bit to make it something kind of different.
Mm-hmm. And I love the I love the DC thing because I've lived, and everyone's looking at me because I've just got like a face full of chocolate. I love the setting because I lived in DC in the Arlington, Virginia area.
You don't
for
find
three
that
years.
Offensive like so many people seem to?
No, I don't. I don't at all. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with those people. But I love going to parts of town that I recognize, and they will try to capture some of that, like that going to the metro stations, and they have that. If you've ever been to DC, they have this really cool interior, like the subway stations are really wide open. It's not like New York City or something. They're ridiculously opulent and huge.
Wow.
And
cool.
They have this really modern looking square concrete pattern that goes on in a big like semicircle. Mm-hmm. And except now you go into those and you're everything's ruined and you're fighting ghoulish zombies and stuff.
Nice. But
when
yeah, but yeah, I don't know what else to say other than the other thing that sort of impressed me about it was that early on I felt like it was a little bit generic what was going on with the story and the characters that I was meeting, and I'm impressed how much it's been cranked up to me like over the course of the game. The characters get more and more interesting. The people that I meet get a lot more interesting than some of the stuff early on, and it actually gets pretty funny.
Did you? Oh, sorry. I was just going to ask a really simple question. Did you make your character look like Robert Ashley? And did the guy that was your father surprisingly look like your father?
No. I'm not good at those menus. I don't have the patience to sit there.
Oh, did you just do like a preset face?
No, I sort of randomized shit for a while until I found somebody that looked sufficiently ugly. And it doesn't matter now because, I mean, from about the third hour on, I had a helmet.
Yeah.
So.
What? Wait. Yeah. So, what did he? I'm curious. What did he look like? Why is he ugly?
His brow is way too large. He's bald. His eyes are a little too close together. he has kind of a snossage of a nose.
That's nice.
Yeah, he just looks. I just randomized until I found somebody. That's what I did. Although with Oblivion, I did take the time to make a really ugly character, and I found that
me too.
Part
I made
so
I made
enjoyable.
Mine as ugly as possible.
You didn't have any fucking choice.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, it's like I still remember in Oblivion making this elf character because I like to go all stealthy and roguelike or whatever. And so I made this female elf character, and they only had like one short hairstyle, and so I chose it. Uh-huh. But I didn't realize until I got into the game and the over the shoulder camera was up there, like the short hair female. The really short hair. She has a fucking bald spot, like on the back of her head.
That's
like,
hot, man.
There was no.
I love a girl
females
with a good bald
in Oblivion
spot.
Whatsoever.
There was no what?
Good-looking female characters in Oblivion whatsoever.
Yeah. What do you mean by good-looking?
I mean like there was none that you would want to put your name on. Like you like.
What does that mean? Put your name on.
Yeah, that's a term my friend. That's a term my friends used to use back in high school for making someone your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Would you put your name on her? Like she's.
Wow.
So yeah. You'd want to play as a character that. You'd want to be your girlfriend.
No. I'm just saying there was never like that engine. Like it seemed like whoever was behind that engine didn't understand what
I'm
made a good looking woman.
I'm just curious, you know, when like dudes make like girls or whatever.
I got
giant tits.
Always.
I gotta say, I never
play a male character.
No, I never like, play as a female character yeah. ever.
I play as female more even than when, I play as man.
Even yeah. most guys I know that play guy characters typically want to make like a dashing, you know, heroic
character. Dude, absolutely.
Character.
I make some guy who's totally more hot than I am.
Exactly. And that's the thing is like with the original Oblivion, it was like you just couldn't make someone that fit into that mold. Like no matter what, everyone looked. Mm.
Yeah,
everyone
it's part
looked
of the fantasy,
dumpy.
Right? I mean, like you want to be like strapping and able and attractive and all that kind of stuff. So
it's like Second Life. You go in there everybody has tried to make their character
the most attractive character possible.
Look like somebody who could be on an MTV reality show.
Right.
But
some
because
people
it's
have...
Second Life, they just look like freakish, bad amateur art projects from someone's like for-profit art school, like the Art Institute.
God. Yeah. That was an awesome rant right there. No, I'm just impressed because I always just try to make my character look like myself. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I do that too sometimes. Yeah, but there's sometimes when I'm playing an orc, that's clearly not going to work.
Right.
You know,
what,
yeah.
what
like that.
Ryan? What?
I usually try to make my character just look old and balding and fat and
sometimes I do like to. I'm not going to lie. I do role play it up a little bit. Like
my orc.
When I made my orc, I made him like aged looking, and then I like came up with my story in my head. He's like a noble orc who gets along with humans, and he's very old, but he's also very smart. So I made his head a little bit larger than it should be.
Yeah,
right and stuff like that. Like, yeah, I don't always try and make him like the dashing guy, but if I'm not going to, I want it to make like sense and not just be like they're ugly because there's no other way to make them.
Hey, Papa Smurf, what does your character look like from World of Warcraft?
Which one's Papa like, Smurf?
They have really limited sets of what you
can do.
The
dude that in all brown.
She calls Ryan.
Looks
it's not brown,
like
it's khaki. It's khaki. We were saying earlier, Ryan's wearing so much khaki that if he went into a Gap in the 90s, he would be camouflaged like at least at 90%. He could just sneak around and kill people. And every once in a while, somebody would go, "What was that?" And he would just sit really still. But no, what does your character look like?
In World of Warcraft?
Yeah.
Just like everybody else's
yeah,
character.
Yeah, exactly. They all look the same.
Nice. That's,
even though they put in a barber shop now so you can get a haircut. Like,
oh, what? So you can choose any of the other default hairstyles?
Exactly.
Like, well, sometimes maybe you pick one and you're not happy with it. You know, you're like, I wanted my guy to be bald, but now I don't want him to be bald.
My WoW character is a gnome. Because it was one of the only character classes or races or whatever
that
didn't look like they were trying to be tough or super.
You can get some gnomes that look like they're trying to be pretty tough.
Really?
I've seen some pretty tough looking gnomes.
I just don't want to play that game and try to have a character that looks like he's a badass.
You should play a Tauren. My Tauren is like the dopiest looking Tauren you could possibly make.
I saw a Tauren on the BART on the way over here. It was this crazy bike messenger who was about 6'5", had a really, really, really long goatee, like down to his chest, and had giant tribal earring hoops. Yeah, right when I saw him, I was like, that looks just like a Tauren.
Yeah. And you were like, Loktar.
Actually, I was like, let me step aside here. I don't want to start any shit with this guy.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Did you get war stomped?
No, it didn't. He's probably actually a real nice guy.
I don't know. I think Taurens are a peaceful people. War, I'm sorry, I'm going to stop. They only fight because they're forced to.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to having a spoiler-ish discussion about Fallout 3 because so much of what I've dug about it has been
like
story and those
things.
Yeah, and those quests.
Cool.
So I imagine I'll be beating it this week.
I'm really looking forward to playing it, but first I have to finish getting all my PC components together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how's
which
that
is
going?
Just I just haven't had enough time to like because I need help.
Yeah.
Specifically Anthony's help, and like I haven't been around enough to actually say, "Hey, Anthony, come and you know help me out for a little bit." So I really want to have the parts ordered like next week before next week's podcast. So I mean like. If Anthony has some time to give me.
It's all on you, Anthony.
Yeah, Anthony.
Jeez. Yeah. Guess you've been a little busy.
My roommate even asked me today if I wanted to, if I needed his help putting together Matt's computer. Because, like, I'm
that
pretty
would be
good,
awesome
but
too.
My roommate's like, I'll put it together and it'll beep wrong and I'll be like, I'm done. And my roommate will be like, I know what's wrong.
See, that's about where you're even one step above me. For me, it's like I put together my own PCs, but it's usually like looking through the motherboard instructions, you know, looking through the manual, very carefully putting everything where it needs to go. The only thing that I know anything of.
No matter how many PCs you
I think
together.
I know, but I, my, but I mean, my like, philosophy but is you just take the parts and you start pushing them together like you're
like
a
Legos.
2-year-old with one of those block puzzles where you fit the shapes into the holes. And you just, if it goes in, then that's where it should be.
Right.
Robert's also like the asshole that's wearing socks and rubs his feet really hard on the carpet before he goes and touches everything.
Yeah.
And burn them all out.
No, I've been really frustrated because like I was getting that, I was trying to get a new processor and I got And I was an idiot, and like I said before, I got something that is totally incompatible with my motherboard. And I finally figured out what the best processor I could get for my motherboard is, and I guess it's old enough to where now it's expensive. You can only buy it on eBay.
Oh,
and so it's
lame.
Like not a great processor. It's like a 2.6 gigahertz or something.
So you should upgrade your motherboard. But
well,
then
I got
that's
a
whole ordeal.
Upgrade everything else.
Dude, I got a Dell. I can't. I got crazy weird Dell shit. So I'd have to start all over.
Well, you have to anyway. If you're going to upgrade your fucking motherboard, then you have to upgrade your RAM. And you have to, and you're probably, if your computer's that old, you probably have AGP or PCI.
It's only like a year and a half old.
Oh, really?
Honestly, if you upgraded your motherboard, you could keep everything like your hard drive and your RAM.
Except that my case is bizarre. My case is weird. It has like the fan in the front and it has, you know, it's some sort of weird proprietary.
Yeah, but motherboards are usually pretty similarly shaped. Like they're made to fit in.
All right, man. After you do that shit for Matt, you're gonna come over to my place, hook me up.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good thing to learn. Like my roommate forced me to do a lot of it, and you learn a lot of things. Like the first time, you're like pushing in the pegs that hold like the CPU fan to your motherboard. You're like, I'm about to break this shit because you're pushing it, and the whole motherboard is bending. And you're like,
dude, I know
this can't be right. This can't be right. But it is. That is totally just how it works. I mean, it's like these things are just made. Like
magic.
Mm-hmm. Magic and silicone.
Things are magical. Yeah, I just wish somebody would send me their expertise instead of their $20 bills. Like, send me a nerd. Send me a nerd in the mail.
I got a lot of offers from like people private messaging me saying like, "Do you need any help figuring out specs or anything like
that?"
Which I really appreciate. Yeah, dude, like our community rocks.
Yay.
Always stuff like that
pandering.
Happens all the time.
They,
no,
you know what
dude,
I got?
Totally
what?
Cool.
You know what I got from somebody in my 1UP inbox the other day? Speaking of fans, I forget who this was, but this dude, some fan of the podcast, he just wrote to say how much he liked the podcast, and he was like, here's some Xbox Live point codes for you. And there were like 5 codes. He's like, these are 1,400 points apiece.
Whoa.
What?
Which,
do they work?
I'm probably not going to try them.
You're counting. How do we divide this up?
But if
this
person is listening...
Loot.
I appreciate
well,
it.
Well, find out if it works first.
Yeah, what do you think? You're going to enter it on your Xbox and it's going to be like, you've just given away your social security number.
Like, that's not how it works.
Yeah,
yeah.
There are at least 5 songs on the Rock Band shopping list that I don't have that I would play once.
Like what?
I don't know.
You would play one.
You have that $20.
I spend all my Xbox points on Rock Band. And I spend it all on songs that I'll buy them when I have a bunch of people over to play Rock Band and everyone's drunk and they're like, yeah, let's get that song.
Exactly.
And then we play it and we're like, oh, this sucks. I downloaded the entire Motley Crue album.
Oh, God.
And then we started playing it and I was like, I had Dr. Feelgood when I was a kid.
Right. Uh-huh.
We started playing the songs and I thought, oh, yeah, this is horrible. I hate every single one of these songs.
In Rock Band 2, there's a no fail mode, so when you're drunk, you just play it up.
Oh, believe
me. Yeah?
I know. It's all about no fail mode on expert.
Nice. You know what?
It's Tina's favorite.
It starts, and if you get someone who's really bad, I personally am a Rock Band god, but if you get
really?
Somebody
it's
really,
true.
Really,
hell yeah, he is.
Really,
on like the hardest mode expert or whatever?
Yeah, expert on the drums.
On drums, yeah.
On drums. Damn.
But I like getting somebody who's not, like, a beginner and trying to make them play expert.
That's
it sounds like avant-garde jazz.
like on the weirdest timing you've never even hoped to be.
All you ever get is the noise of it not hitting the right note. And
right.
Occasionally the right note or the drum hit or whatever.
Is this Rock Band 2?
It is.
Yeah, you really are good at drums. When Robert plays Rock Band 2 drums, he takes on the persona of like a 1950s like pop drummer.
Dude, like, I've never seen you get so into it. Yeah, you bounce.
Yeah,
like you're a bouncy drummer.
Well, it's fun. Well, I'm a drummer in real life. And yeah. The thing,
dude, you make it look like so much fun. Like definitely,
it is fun. And the amazing thing about Rock Band though is it gives you, if you are a drummer, it gives you the chance to get into the head of other drummers that you might like.
Cool.
Like whenever I play that game, I'm always surprised. There will be songs where I think that, oh, this will be really easy, but I just can't get into the headspace of that person. Like the Grateful Dead songs on Rock Band.
Mm-hmm.
I'm horrible at playing those on the drums because the guy just plays really fucking weird. Like,
wow.
He doesn't, he plays like a jazz drummer. He uses his kick really in a bizarre sort of scattershot way. It's not during beats that I would want to play during the song, and I'm constantly trying to play what I would want to play or something.
Right.
But then I get to play like a Dave Grohl drum song, like a Nirvana. You know, they just released all the new Nirvana stuff.
Nice.
And I was playing that the other night, and I can't believe that guy. It blows my mind. And you get to feel like you're Dave Grohl, except you're using like little twinkly drumsticks that weigh like 0.2 pounds, and all of your drums are like an inch away from each other. So you can go, and be a total badass. Not even break a sweat.
I played Rock Band the other day, like expecting like to kick this particular person's ass just because I beat them at Call of Duty and Soul Calibur and stuff. And I was like, all right, like let's play some
let's
Rock
go
Band. Yeah, because it's fun when you play over like Xbox Live and stuff.
I've never actually played it online.
You should challenge other people on drums. It's it's a lot of fun. But I challenged this particular person on guitar and totally kicked my ass.
Aww.
And I really wanted to kill him.
Did you make fun of him for being a baby gamer?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, baby. Yeah.
Just want to throw that out there.
I don't even know how we got on this. What was this?
I don't even know.
It was a tangent.
It was the life points thing.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, Tina, did you want to introduce what you found?
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well,
I think we're going to start talking about, like, some interesting article that we see every week.
Okay.
And this was Tina's.
Yeah, this is one that actually David Ellis sent to me, and it was written by Rachel Moore. And before we go into this, I just want to say that, you know, there isn't a lot of women in the game industry. And so when there, you know, a female does emerge, like, there's so many different ways she can, you know, like, express herself and just, like, you know, and her demeanor and everything can be whatever she wants. And so there's a lot.
So you could basically, like, you could either wear a baby tee or a short skirt, or you could
look like you're walking on the street and it's cold outside.
No, you can't do that. I mean, if you're actually outside,
that's how I'm dressed.
But if
right
you're
now.
Inside,
no. Okay. Well, what I'm saying is like
we got to establish some rules here. What is this?
So Rachel, where does she work? Doesn't she work?
She
for,
works
like,
for
I don't know.
Girlgamer.com.
Something like that. But
GameGirl.com.
So, you know, like,
okay,
girls can take many paths in the game industry to make it, right? And, like, one of the very easiest ways, and I'm not hating on this, but one of the easiest ways as a girl to make it in the game industry is to just freaking, like, you know, dress all, like, revealing, and which is fine if that's
good.
What you want to do. But personally, I just think that it makes it more difficult for other women in the industry that want to make it or other girls that want to play because it's totally... Well, yeah, it's degrading. And I don't want to offend anybody, but that's what I think. So she wrote this article about how she says that the game industry is male-dominated. And then she also says that she enjoys that it's male-dominated. And she, and this is a direct quote, she says, "God help us all when it is no longer that." And
I read this story, and I think what she, you know, what she's talking about in the story is... For some reason, she seems to think I'm not a girl, so I don't know if this actually happens. That when you game as a girl and you run into other girls in games, that other girls tend to be kind of bitchy to you.
And that's
that sounds like online gaming.
Yeah, well, I mean,
just in general.
Where was this published? GameTopius.com.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, where this article comes from.
That's her main point in the game, and I mean, the game.
He's reading
the screenshot right now. So.
Screenshot.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So, as a girl, I'm personally not catty to any other females I come across. Like when Anthony and I are griefing online, and then we hear a girl, I will be like, I totally don't believe that. Like I can't. There's not that many, you know. And it's not that I'm hating on them. I'm just like, wow, really? And I'm like, that's cool, you know. And I start talking to her, and it's a good thing. It should be a good thing because I just think that, you know, gaming should be for everybody, and a woman that respects themselves enough to, like, you know, just enjoy gaming for the sake of gaming.
Well, it makes me wonder what kind of terrible people that Rachel is playing with then.
Well, okay, so that's another thing I wanted to talk about. If girls are
talk about them bitches.
<Shut up. laughs> Okay, so if there's girls that are catty towards each other in the game industry, like she says there are, and I'm sure that it is the case, I imagine that they're arguing and fighting over, like, space and attention because all they have to offer is their bodies.
Woo!
Nice.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm
Zing.
Saying. Because, like, if you were really playing, and I'm not saying that Rachel doesn't, I've never played with her, but if you really do play and you have the skill, like, if you approach another girl that's actually playing, like, fuck, like, you know, let's hang out. Let's play some games because that's what you like to do, right? That's why you're working here. But if you're going to, like, get offended by a girl that's, like, making fun of you because of the way you dress, you know, because it's all revealing, well, then maybe you should reevaluate why you're in the industry because, you know.
I think you know something about this that I don't know because the revealing dress aspect was not part of the story. Do you know some background? You got some.
Well, I just looked up her name on Google. And like.
So you're like those girls who are mean to her because she's dressed
in
hoey.
Well, the whole article starts off. It says girl gamers are notorious for their negative attitudes and their lack of sportsmanship. They love to cut down and crucify any other girl.
I thought they were notorious for their inability to get a headshot.
I think this is
a totally ridiculous, like, conversation to be having in 2008 about, you know, whether or not you can be a girl in this
industry.
Not the industry, just like be a girl, play games, whatever. It shouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah,
I think the problem is crazy. A lot of girls who got into games when there weren't very many girls playing got used to a certain amount of attention from people,
but,
and there's this sense that if more girls are going to show up, then I'm not going to be a special.
But
that's
only for a certain type of girl that wants that attention and dresses for men and not for herself.
Like, for success.
Jen Tsao is a perfect example of, like, a woman who is strong and has self-respect and, you know, made it. And she has a family. And I think she's made it so much more easier for other girls like me just to come in and just be like, what's up? You know?
Yeah. Like, well, she was never playing, like, by any special female rules. She was just, like, a responsible person who was good at
And not
play,
only that,
right?
But, man, I think it's like, I haven't been here that long, but, dude, the men and a lot of the men in this industry are just as, like, high school, if not more so, about talking shit about each other or treating it like it's like some fucking dorm room scenario.
Yeah,
than women are. Like,
before you came in this room, me and Matt were like, oh my god, did you see what Anthony's wearing today?
I know, I couldn't believe it, man.
Christ.
Oh my god, he put those two colors together.
A Goodwill gift certificate.
Jesus,
spruce up his.
did you see? It's like, I don't know who he's fooling with those ankles.
Yeah,
but
no, I am being serious.
In general, there's a lot of. You know, it's very high school.
It is.
It is. I mean, with the people that play favorites with each other or the people that make, you know, just like, you know, just the people that treat other people like they're in some sort of, like, in society, and they have people that are not in the in society.
But I think,
you know,
that's
what
it's happens, like, when
it's
you
very cliquish.
When you gather, you know, 50 or 60 grown men who think and act like teenage boys into a single office, it's going to feel like high school, you know, because that's where everyone
sausage fest
in their brain.
Sausage fest where you have to take care
of
children.
So, I don't know. Matt, what did you think about this article? Like, I'm interested.
Dude, you
in
said it
opinion.
Way better than I could have. I totally agree with everything that you've just said. But I just want to also point out that she says that the girl mentality is souring the game industry. And first of all, that's a terrible sentence. And second of all, it's what girl mentality is souring the game industry? Because it's always
we
been...
We cheer.
Casual games sour the game. No, that's not true.
Yeah, you gave the F.
We cheer was a terrible
F,
you know, game.
F for fun.
If you could take your girl mentality out of here.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I know, right?
So it's like we need less girl mentality, more woman mentality.
There you go. That, Robert Ashley.
Nice.
Look at me quote that. I've been learning from
Box
Obama,
quote.
Man. I feel smart.
Box right. quote.
There we go.
But yeah, it's like the problem is, you know, the problem being a male-dominated industry is that the path provided to women is one of sexual objectification. And I feel that women who play into that deserve what they get.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. You end up like, I could actually call out other people, but I guess I won't. But it's, you know, when there's certain situations that are bad for women and bad for gaming, and the men shouldn't play into it and the women shouldn't play into it.
I want to play devil's advocate and say that there are going to be women who want to be into games and who would just naturally dress, you know.
Revealing, yeah, which is sure. fine. That's fine. I don't...
The part of
and,
being...
And they can send me their resumes.
Oh, my God.
Ashley at...
Well, part of being a modern woman, right?
address.com.
Part of being a modern woman is having choices.
Yeah.
And that means you have the choice to be a stripper and you have the choice to be a homemaker. You have the choice to be, you know, a businesswoman. Your choices are yours and yours alone, and nobody gets to judge you for them.
Yeah.
But to pretend that, you know, that there aren't certain attitudes that have a negative impact on the presence of women in the game industry is naive at best.
Yeah. But I feel like there have been women that I've known in the business end of things that were not, you know, here to impress everyone with their good looks and way of dress that just didn't make it. You know, and there is, I think it's hard to get in. It's hard to get in on the same level. It's like a guy can walk into this office dressed like a total fucking slob and every day, like 30 or 40 of them do.
I'm one of them.
You don't think a girl can just walk in?
I haven't seen you come into the office dressed like a total fucking slob. Next Wednesday.
What?
Next Wednesday.
Sloppy Tuesdays. Have you not seen Sloppy Tuesdays?
I've not been here on Sloppy Tuesday. I want to see...
Dress sloppy, Tina, it still doesn't look terrible by any means.
Look at Anthony right now.
Oh,
look at him. Look at him, okay? Look at him.
Actually, he's pretty stylish.
So you think that, like, I wouldn't be here right now if...
I don't think that, but I'm just saying, like, I think there's just a lot of pressure to be impressive. And then, also,
I mean,
it's the same thing when you're infiltrating any boys club, you know, you turn to your feminine mystique, your powers of...
I talked to a woman who's involved in the game industry this last week, who I won't name it.
Chef Love.
She's also been very successful. No, she's a...
Yes.
She's involved in the industry. She's written for the industry, you know, and she's also attractive. Like, it's like, but you know, she was talking about how it is difficult sometimes to be a woman because a woman,
a woman.
Because, I'm a woman.
You know, it is like the same thing that I'm sure Tina and every other girl has to put up with, where it's like, you know, it's like because it is a male dominated industry. At the same time, it's so easy for guys to get the wrong impression all the time.
Yeah.
That's what you're trying to do.
Right.
You're trying.
Even all you're doing is because you like, you know, cute clothes maybe.
Yeah, exactly. You like cute clothes, but you go up and talk to them and you're being nice and friendly because you're doing your job and trying to make a contact. But they're like, oh, this girl's trying to make contact. You know what I mean? They're like,
because you're talking to some guy who's been like lost in the World of Warcraft for 3 years.
Exactly.
And he's got this girl coming up to him, talking to him all nice. And he's like, oh my God, I think she likes me.
Exactly. And that makes it like, you know, women are put in a difficult spot.
But I mean, I think just the fact that we're sitting here, four guys and a girl, having this conversation, you know, it's like, where's the forum where like actual girls who play games would have talked about this and people would have heard? Nowhere. I mean, we just now have like one girl on this podcast for the first time.
Well, and that was only because HR told us we had to for equal opportunity.
Oh, screw you guys. Oh, damn it.
Come on, that was a horror. That was a joke. It's not true at all.
That was a good joke.
You're part of the problem.
It is true. Like when I first got here, it was very difficult. Like people just assumed that I got the job because I was a girl and I won't say who, even though they're sitting right in front of me.
She's talking about me. It's okay.
No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, it is like very rewarding when you're playing a game and everyone's just like, "Oh, look, it's a girl," and then you just totally like wipe them out, and they're like, "Oh shit."
I what I'm interested in is the girl gamer obsession with getting good at bro games, and you are good at like an ultimate bro game, thing is, and that is Call of Duty.
The thing is,
you go online and you kick ass in a mega bro game.
The thing is, like, Tina came to that on her own thing. She's not one of those girls that's like, I'm going to get good at Madden because my boyfriend and all his friends play Madden, and I have something to prove to them.
Yeah,
she just genuinely likes.
Yeah,
no, I mean that's cool. I mean, I think that there is this sort of.
Oh, that's.
I mean, when you look at the clans and stuff, there's this emphasis on like we're gonna play the boys' games and kick their asses, and that's cool. I mean, I like the attitude of it, but like I don't even like those games.
I didn't even think of Call of Duty as a boys' game.
I like, said bro.
Yeah, it is a very bro. Like,
bro
look at the guys that go in and buy like that or Halo.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is totally like.
You know what was awesome? Sorry to cut you off, but Alice and I were looking for Gears of War 2 yesterday because a certain store broke Street Date.
We can say it. 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven. It's all over the place. That's how I got my copy of Gears.
Yeah.
Walked down to the fucking 7-Eleven.
So it was funny. Alice just brought up a point. She's like, the 7-Eleven is not going to know what hits them. Two girls walk in and say, can we get some Gears?
Yeah, they don't even know what Gears is. Like, yeah. Like when the.
Cause like,
when,
we're out of that energy.
When Jason. Because when Jason went to the 7-Eleven to try to find something, he's like, yeah, I want Gears of War 2. And the guy's all, huh? What do you want? I want the game, Gears of War 2.
Menthol.
He tried to give him like some terrible DVD movie. He's like, no, that movie fucking sucks. I want Gears of War 2. And it's like, so yeah, they don't even know what they're selling. And it's so funny because if you got those, the broken Street Date ones, it says do not sell before 11/7/08.
Right.
And like you're buying them on Tuesday. And it says right on the package not to sell it.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, so like, I respect Rachel because she's a female in the industry, and I understand that it is difficult, but I don't agree with the fact that she thinks that girls shouldn't, or she hopes that girls don't, you know, infiltrate.
Well, and that she thinks that
I think that might be... Go ahead.
Girl attitudes are screwing everything up, which I don't necessarily think is true. I think there are people that were already...
To me, I think we could read a little too much into this. I think that she was mainly, for some reason, running into other women online who were giving her attitude. Yeah. I don't know what
and
about.
That's
and that's
bad.
So weird to me. Yeah. Yeah, I've never seen that, and I've played with Tina plenty of times, and I've.
Maybe it doesn't happen in Call of Duty, but it totally happens in WoW. Like I've been on raids in WoW, and there've been we've been on like you know vent, and it's like they're look. I told. Why didn't you bubble me? I died.
Yeah. No, that you know. Actually,
WoW
you
is
make,
a different culture.
I was going to say WoW is an interesting case in point because in WoW a lot of times, like just like every other MMO, I've known a history of people that either were girls or played girl characters because they got gifts from men in MMOs.
I don't think that works anymore
because it's so easy. But I'm saying if you're in vent and you're obviously a girl, people probably will treat you differently because think about the demographic you're playing with as far as men.
But also, aren't their numbers pretty even?
Like, yeah, on WoW the numbers are pretty even.
That's what I'm saying. So I could see there being like a little bit of girl rivalry between who gets like shit
gets the affection.
The nice
well,
stuff.
Okay, so
but I'm
guess,
saying WoW is an exception
so
from the rule.
So I guess
in my
opinion, girls,
I
if they're in playing games for all the wrong reasons, and that's a wrong reason, then that explains why they're catty. But
well, WoW is a different thing, though. I mean, but, a lot of women don't necessarily play a lot of games; they play WoW.
This plays into me to a stereotype that I think has always existed about women that they're sort of. Always catty to each other. That they're territorial. You know, don't come into my crew. Don't mess with my shit. And sort of don't cooperate or mean to each other from an early age.
But that's
that girls are mean to each other. And maybe it's true on some level. I don't know. But
I think it's just like anything else. It's more the community that you're in. Yeah. Than it is like, you know, a generalization that you can apply across gender, because it's like if you have women that
have grown up in a cooperative environment, they're going to be cooperative people. You know, maybe Rachel is just, she's in a particular community or with a bunch of girls.
Xbox that, Live.
Maybe she's just on Xbox Live. That's the bottom, that's the answer to all
that's
this.
Like,
she went on
like
Xbox Live.
Your time
end
in the
story.
In the prison cafeteria.
Yeah.
you're just sitting around waiting to get shanked.
Yeah. But, I mean, if, I don't know, if people are being catty towards you, like, she says they are being towards her, like, just don't think about it, just do your thing. If you're really in this industry because you love gaming, and I'm not saying you don't, just, you know, just keep playing. So.
Very passionate.
I don't know, I just, yeah.
Alright, alright.
Don't wanna hate.
Yeah.
Not hating.
No hatred allowed.
I appreciate the non-hatred.
It's all love in Barack Obama's America.
So I guess we should wrap this up because Ryan keeps looking at his watch like, I got to
catch
the motherfucking cow train.
No, just looking. We have been going on for a while here.
What do we got? What do we got?
Maybe we only got like 15 minutes.
Let's give the kids a little more. I want to talk about for a minute. Let's talk about Mirror's Edge. It's going to be coming out on the PC, yeah. But I've been playing the Xbox Live demo because it's there, and it is really interesting to me. And I know that Matt has. I don't know how much of it you can talk about, but you just played through the entire game.
I beat it because we're doing it on the 1UP show this week.
Yeah,
and so I jumped on it, and it really it is short.
Yeah.
Is it shorter than I thought it was going to be?
Like, you can drop through it in like 6 hours, right? Isn't it like 6 to 8 hours if you're...
I would have had to try to stretch out my game to reach 6 hours. Like, yeah. if I was searching for all of the little hidden bags and, you know, if I wasn't, I don't know, like... The game basically pushes you to run through it as fast as you can.
Sure.
And you feel the best... You feel the most skill and the most adrenaline rush when you're playing this game, when you are getting through it as fast as you can, when you don't make any mistakes on your movements, you know, and it's super, super satisfying in that regard. I just didn't expect it to be over as fast as it was.
I'm not surprised, if only to me it's so obvious that this is a game that began with mechanics.
Yeah.
You know, that they sat down and they're trying to figure out, obviously, how to create more physical sensation in playing first-person shooters to give you more control over your body and feel less like a gun with a camera
right.
attached to it.
Mm. Right.
Dude, they totally succeed
with that big time.
Yeah.
But you can just tell that, like, the way that the world's built, I mean, it's almost like a testing ground, the way that it's so minimal and the use of spare use of color and the story, which, as far as I can tell, I'm not particularly interested in so far.
It's terrible.
In a way,
I was hoping it'd be like some 1984 shit.
A lot of people have compared it, like, the only real appeal of, like, coming back to it again and again is if you're, like, one of those racing people that is like, I can totally shave off 2 seconds off my track if I just do it this way or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you do find yourself, like, I found myself doing some crazy fucking moves and just, like, on the fly. And I was like, oh my God, that was the coolest thing ever. And it feels to me a lot like a Half-Life mod, you know, like Action Half-Life or something like that, where you take a mechanic that somebody is really familiar with and you put a twist on it. You know, you take a first-person shooter mechanic and you put this movement twist on it that people aren't used to experiencing in a game like this. Only they also added in the body awareness thing like they did in Thief 3, which I always thought was really effective in Thief 3. They didn't go far enough with it, and Mirror's Edge does take it to that next level.
Yeah.
For lack of a better phrase.
I'm interested to see what happens with mods.
PC version?
Yeah.
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 Totally.
Because I could see people just creating obstacle courses and
that are obscene.
Doing runs, you know? Like, who cares about the fight? I mean, they sort of bring in enemies as a way to sort of
push you, lash
you in the back, you know?
Like, yes and
they're,
no.
They're whipping you, and like later on there's some combat.
There are a couple arenas in the game where you have to fight people and take them out before you can go forward, because the only way out is to crawl really slowly up a pipe.
Yeah.
And they will always kill you before you get to the top. Hmm. So they do throw you into a situation with a couple of arenas, and, like, I'm sure the shooting combat is fine. I never actually fired a single bullet playing the game because I didn't want to. I wanted, because they talked about how you could make it through the game without killing anybody with a bullet.
And so you're using, like, the close combat stuff.
I was using
and
the close combat.
And then just throwing the gun.
That seems to work pretty well, too.
Yes and no.
Wasn't that what they were aiming for? I mean, DICE said that they were hoping that users would choose to, like, have close combat instead of,
I think they should have made the close combat a little more versatile.
Yeah.
Because as it is right now is if you go up to somebody, and once you're within melee distance, they try to melee you, and their gun turns red. And as their gun turns red, you have to hit Y right as it turns red, and then you do a disarm move. My problem is that, like, I want to be able to chain things. Like, you can do a slide kick, and you do a slide kick into them, and they double over. But then you have to wait. You just stand there because you can't disarm them while they're all doubled over in pain.
Yeah.
And so it's like you have to wait till they stand up and try to melee you before you can disarm them.
Yeah, in some ways it almost sounds like a, like, from, like, you know, people, everyone I know that's played the demo and everything, it kind of sounds like everyone kind of feels that way.
Yeah.
And that there's, like, so many cool ideas and, like, if anything, it just makes people look forward to, like, a Mirror's Edge 2.
Totally.
Because, well, like,
that's just what this is going to bring to first-person shooters in general.
Or first-person action,
I would sort of
expect
to see more of this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because once you play it, it feels... First of all, it just feels so fine-tuned.
It does.
I mean, it's really, really precise, really intuitive thing.
And I am so about movement in my FPS games. Like, the Tribes 2 is still my favorite multiplayer game of all time, as I think I've said before. And the and when I played Bionic Commando multiplayer for the 1UP show, and like being able to swing around was fucking awesome. Like, it felt so good. It, like, I was like, wow, this gives me almost this Tribes feeling. And Mirror's Edge gives me that same feeling too of high mobility.
I could see a game being almost the opposite of Gears of War, say, where instead of sort of turtling and getting in these strategic firefights that unfold slowly, creating a game where you're, like, you know, a fucking machine gun wielding ninja just tearing through people.
Well, that's basically what this what I wanted this game to be, was, like, all close combat.
Yeah.
You know, like, because they have some animations, like, in the loading screens too, that look like these really cool disarm moves.
Yeah.
That if you can pull them off, I haven't figured out how you're supposed to do it. They don't tutorial how to do it. What? Go ahead.
No, it's just now I'm thinking about when you guys describe it, is like if you could evolve this into another game. I want a game where you are just a ninja now.
Yeah.
And you have a sword, and you got some freaking ninja stars.
You know what ninja I want to be? The Beverly Hills Ninja.
Oh, snap. I remember
so
that movie.
Awesome.
That
was you are Chris Farley. That would be incredible. I want to play a game where I am Chris Farley. All
right.
You can play a fat princess.
I mean, I'm already halfway there. Yeah.
Dude, it could be a whole series.
Look at the way we're both sitting. We might as well.
Yeah, I know.
Between the two of us, we're Chris Farley.
We've got enough body fat to feed, like, four
slouch
or five
factor
people.
Plus one.
You know what I like about Mirror's Edge is the soundtrack is going to be amazing, because I've never felt like I loved the music in a game so much since, like, Final Fantasy X. So.
Did you ever play Katamari?
Everyone loves the music and what they've seen so far, but it just strikes me as being kind of unimpressive Brian Eno knockoff music.
Let's also note that Robert's a musician. So I think maybe you.
That doesn't mean that, like, I sit around listening to Steve Vai or something.
Obviously, I know. I'm just.
I only listen to fucking Steve Vai.
I'm just saying.
That guy can shred. Yeah. No, I mean, it's not. It's just. It fits. What I've heard fits. It just doesn't blow me away. And I know a lot of people have heard it and been like, "Yeah, that's awesome." And I mean, great.
I
feel like music is, if you can get into it, then
great.
It's great. Like, that's the best thing about music.
So. No, I like the theme, the main theme song a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Although they have a vocal version at the end of the game, which really sucks.
Oh no!
Spoiler.
Whatever. And then the
it's not like Still Alive. They're like, "Thank you for jumping. You really climbed the pipe, oh yeah. You disarmed dudes and didn't kill a person."
Unlocked achievements.
All right.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Ryan needs to get home.
Ryan.
All right, he's got WoW to play
every 2 seconds.
You ready to go home?
Yeah.
He's got
to get back to the Fortress of Copulation.
He's got a smart
start. Okay.
He's got a smart start
Maybe
microwave meal just waiting for him at home. Low sodium Salisbury steak. He cannot wait. People say that we pick on you, and the only reason we ever make jokes is because we're just trying to get reactions.
Yeah.
He's like he's always sitting in here, like, staring out at us, like, kind of semi aloof, and we're trying to grab him in, like, bring us the raw Ryan. Yeah.
What motivates you, Ryan Scott?
What gets you up in the morning?
Yeah.
And I don't mean like your reproductive
You
system.
Know what? Let's stop right there. before Robert made it terrible.
Okay. All right. Let's go. All right.
Come on. We're all looking at you.
What?
We need an
Wait,
answer.
What's the question?
What motivates you? What gets you up in the morning?
What motivates me?
Yeah.
This is what we're going out on, Ryan.
Oh, Jesus.
This should be deep.
I'm on the spot.
Come yeah. on.
Come on, like what do you care about most?
Wouldn't
in life?
It be awesome if you just said porn and then and then our podcast stopped? Now come on, go.
I don't know. Sort of like Office Space, not being hassled. That motivates me.
All right, that's good.
Fair
enough.
Good enough.
All right,
see ya.
And porn.